what a thought that is, that when we get to heaven, that's who we'll be looking for, first of all, our Savior. If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us to the Gospel of John in chapter number 1. Gospel of John, chapter number 1 this morning. And we'll be there momentarily. This opening chapter of John takes us really as about as high as our human mind can go when it comes to the things of God. And John here we see, and we'll see, that he does not begin his gospel at Bethlehem. He does not begin with Mary and Joseph. He does not begin with shepherds or wise men or a manger. He does not even necessarily begin with the creation of the world. If anything, we see John reaches back even beyond creation, and he takes us into eternity. The other Gospels, of course, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and yes, even John to a degree, they all introduce Jesus from different perspectives. They're basically, for lack of a better explanation, they're all kind of telling the same story. Just from those different points of view, just from those different perspectives. Of course, Matthew presents Christ as king. Mark presents Christ as the servant. Luke presents Christ as the Son of Man. But then when we get here to John, we see John immediately presents Jesus Christ as who he is, and that is the eternal Son of God. Matthew and Luke take us to Bethlehem, while John takes us back before Bethlehem. Luke gives us historical circumstances surrounding the birth of Christ, whereas John just simply comes out and says, "In the beginning was the Word." And from that we can reason that Jesus Christ did not begin in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was where he entered this world in human flesh. But he existed before Bethlehem. He existed before Abraham. He existed before Adam. He existed before the world. And Bethlehem was not just the beginning of Jesus Christ. It was rather the entrance of the eternal Son of God into human history. So you found your place there in John chapter 1. And I invite you to notice there the first two verses of John chapter number 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." For a few moments this morning, the thought that we want to see is just very simply the eternal Word. The eternal Word. Of course, we know here John wrote his gospel near the end of the first century. Many years had passed since Jesus had ascended to the Father. The gospel had spread beyond the Jewish people, now into the Gentile world. And this presented a very interesting challenge, because Jesus Christ had come through Israel. The gospel had been first preached to the Jews. Romans 1:16, the Bible tells us that to the Jew first and also to the Greek, but now the gospel was going into what could be called a predominantly Gentile world. And so John, therefore, uses a title for Jesus that will communicate tremendous truth to both the Jew and to the Gentile. And he calls the Lord Jesus Christ, here in John chapter 1, he calls him the Word. The Word. And you notice there, the Word is capitalized, capital W. That's how we know that it's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. To the Jewish mind, that phrase, the Word, was closely associated with God. The Jewish people knew the tremendous power of God's spoken Word. In Genesis, you go back, you read the book of Genesis. Genesis repeatedly says and repeats the phrase, "And God said." And God said. God spoke, and creation obeyed. By the time of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Aramaic language had become the ordinary language of many Jewish people. Aramaic paraphrases and translations of the Old Testament were known as Targums. And in those traditions, expressions concerning God were sometimes rendered using terminology involving this phrase, the Word. And so it was because of this, the concept of God's Word carried deep significance for the Jewish reader. But then on the opposite end, we would have the Greek or the Gentile. And the Greek world also had a concept associated with the Logos, or the Word. Greek philosophers had used Logos in connection with reason and order and the principle behind the universe. Heraclitus, centuries before Christ, spoke of an ordering reason behind existence. The Greeks wonder, why isn't everything chaos? Why isn't what gives the universe order? What holds everything together? And then along comes John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And John essentially says and asks the question, you want to know the Word. You want to know the one behind creation. You want to know the one who gives order to everything. The Word is not merely a principle. The Word is a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice there, you're in John chapter 1. Notice verse number 14. The Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That person is Jesus Christ. In the opening words of his gospel, John gives us three unmistakable statements concerning the Word. And that's what I want to see this morning. Number one, Jesus Christ, the Word, is eternal. Jesus Christ, the Word, is eternal. Notice again, John chapter 1 and verse number 1. The Bible says there, "In the beginning was the Word." In the beginning was the Word. You notice what the Bible does not say. It does not say, "In the beginning, the Word was created." It does not say that in the beginning, the Word began. It says, "In the beginning was the Word." When the beginning began, Jesus Christ was already there. He already was. Before there was a beginning, Jesus already was. Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Genesis tells us of what happened in the beginning. John then tells us who was already there when the beginning happened. And Jesus, we see here, he was not a product of time. He entered time. He lived within time. He spent approximately 33 and a half years walking upon this earth. But his earthly life does not define and does not set the limits of his existence. And you and I, we have sometimes difficulty understanding that. If you've ever taught young people or kids, one of the things they sometimes have a hard time wrapping their head around is, and they always seem to, we always seem to be asked the question, well, who created God? Well, God's just always been. And they have a hard time understanding that. And sometimes we have difficulty understanding that because everything about our lives is measured by time. We have birthdays. We have ages. We have beginnings. We have endings. We say, I was born on this date. We say, I've lived this many years. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot put him into that same box. Because Jesus stepped into time, but time never contained Jesus. John 8:58, the Bible says, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus did not say there, before Abraham was, I was. He said, I am. John 17:5, the Bible says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus remembered glory that he possessed with the Father before the world existed. Bethlehem, therefore, was not Christ's beginning. It was his incarnation. John 1:14 again, and the Word was made flesh. The eternal Son of God took on himself human flesh. That baby that was lying in Bethlehem's manger was older than the world he was lying in, because before that world, he was. He already existed. The Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. You know, everything else changes. Governments change. Cultures change. Churches change. Friends change. Families change. Our bodies change. Our circumstances change. But Jesus Christ remains eternally the same. When everything else around you seems uncertain, you can anchor yourself to the one who has never changed. And listen, you know, this morning we may not know what tomorrow holds, but tomorrow cannot change the Christ who holds us today. And if he holds us today, he will hold us tomorrow. And so we see Jesus Christ, the Word, is eternal. But then secondly this morning, we see Jesus Christ, the Word, was with God. I notice there again, John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. John now shows us a distinction of person. The Word was with God. Verse number 2 repeats the truth. Notice verse number 2. The same was in the beginning with God. And so before creation, the Father and the Son enjoyed eternal fellowship with one another. John 17:5 speaks of that. Turn over there, if you would, and look at it. John 17. John chapter 17. And verse number 5, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Christ speaks of that glory that he possessed with the Father before the world ever existed. This means then that Jesus Christ was not created by God. Some religious groups teach the idea that Jesus was God's first creation. But John destroys that idea. You're there, John chapter 1. Notice verse number 3. The Bible says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Everything that belongs to the category of made was made by Christ. And because of that, Christ cannot belong to the category of things that were made. Jesus is not part of creation. Jesus is the Creator. Colossians 1:16, "For by him were all things created." You think about the significance of that this morning. You think about what that means. This morning, the one who made the tree allowed men to nail him to a tree. The one who created iron allowed men to drive nails through his hands. The one who created man's mouth allowed men to spit upon him. The one who gave man breath listened while men cried out to crucify him. The Creator allowed his own creation to crucify him so that he could then redeem his creation. Christ also reveals the Father to us. Notice there, John chapter 1, verse number 18. John chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." And then John 14:9, the Bible says, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." So in other words, this morning, if you want to know God's attitude towards sin, look to Jesus. You want to know God's compassion towards sinners, look to Jesus. You want to know about God's holiness, look to Jesus. You want to know about God's love, look to Jesus and look to Calvary. And look at what he did for you and for me. We see this morning, Jesus Christ, the Word, was eternal. Jesus Christ, the Word, was with God. And then thirdly and finally this morning, Jesus Christ, the Word, was God. Jesus Christ, the Word, was God. Notice again, chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word," that's him eternal, "and the Word was with God," that was the Word with God. And then finally, last part of verse number 1, "and the Word was God." John could hardly make that statement any clearer if he even wanted to. He does not say that Jesus was like God. He does not say that Jesus merely represented God. He does not say Jesus eventually became God. No, he says the Word was God. Jesus Christ is fully and eternally God. 1 Timothy 3:16, "God was manifest in the flesh." Colossians 2:9, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." John 20:28, "My Lord and my God." Now, by the way, this is one of the great mysteries of our faith, something we may not fully understand until we get to heaven. And even God and Jesus understood that. 1 Timothy 3:16, "The mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh." To this day, we still don't quite know how to explain it. But we know it because God said it. And if God said it, we know it to be true. We will never exhaust everything there is to know about Jesus Christ. God is infinite. We are finite. Now that should not discourage us from learning as much as we can about Him. If anything, it should cause us to spend our lives learning more and more about Him. This past week, I ordered a book. I love lighthouses. And I ordered this book from Amazon, and it's Bright Beacons, The History of the American Lighthouse. And it's not a Christian book by any means, not a book that has scripture in it, but I opened it last night. It came in yesterday, and while I was on treatment, I opened it and just started kind of, you know, perusing it and looking at it. And it's a little over 500 pages, so it'll take me a while to get through it, but there was a quote right in the first couple pages, and I thought, man, that's a Bible principle. And again, not a Christian book, not a book that's going to be quoting scripture, but something that even in that we can be challenged to, and in things like that we can be challenged to learn more about Him. And again, you can spend a lifetime studying Jesus and never reach the bottom of who He is. In fact, I believe it's here in John, the Bible has a verse there that says, basically to the effect that if everything that Jesus did, and if everything of who He was written down, there would not be enough books in the world to contain it. That's how powerful and majestic and mighty our God is. Christ is not only creator, but He sustains creation. Colossians 1:17, the Bible says, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. The universe continues because of Christ. The planets remain in their courses. The stars remain where God placed them. Creation continues according to His power. The same Jesus, by the way, who holds the universe together, is the same Jesus who can hold you together and hold me together, no matter what it is we're facing. And so you say then this morning, what are some of the ramifications of these statements? Well, if Jesus Christ is eternal, and He is, if He was with God, and He was, and He is God, and He is, then these truths demand something from us. Number one, Jesus Christ must be central. He cannot merely be an addition to our lives. And many people, they live like that is what Jesus is. This morning I was getting ready for church. I couldn't find my wallet or my ring. I usually leave it on my side table. And so when I come down, it's right there on my side table. And well, Manny's been getting on me to move it because our dog is a thief. And if it is not nailed down, he will steal it and run with it. I was getting ready this morning. Mandy holds up this bag of Doritos that we had bought. And she said, what do we want to do with the Doritos? I said, what do you mean? Are they out of date? And she said, no, you left them on the edge of the couch, and Ace got a hold of them and ran all over the house with them. Okay. So I said, did he get into them? She said, no, but the bag was very slobbery. I said, we can throw them away and we can get a new bag of Doritos. So I couldn't find my wallet. I couldn't find my ring. And so Amanda, she was able to find it for me. And so I took it, I put my ring in on, and I put my wallet in, and I was I put my tie on. I had my accessories ready to go. Jesus is more, at least he should be, more than just an accessory that we put on before we go out. He should be with us 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. But sometimes the way we treat Jesus is when we get home from church, we take him off and we put him on the shelf until it's time to go back again. We should live with him 24/7. He must be central. He cannot merely be an addition to our lives. He cannot merely be someone we think about on Sunday morning. He must have the preeminence. Colossians 1:18, and that in all things he might have the preeminence. He must be central. But then Jesus Christ must be worshipped if he is God, and he is. And by the way, he's not just a God, he is God, capital G. Then he deserves worship, he deserves praise, he deserves obedience, he deserves our lives. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That means this morning Jesus does not allow us to place him beside Buddha or beside Mohammed or beside religious leaders or beside philosophers or beside human systems. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. Nothing added, nothing taken away. Christ's claims do not permit that. And if John 1:1 is true, and it is, then Jesus is not merely one option among many. And that's what our world likes to teach, isn't it? That, oh, Jesus, he's one option among many. You can eventually find your way to heaven and find your way to God. No, there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus. He is God manifest in the flesh. Therefore, every person must eventually do something with Jesus. You can ignore him. You can deny him. You can reject him. You can attempt to replace him with religion. But you cannot ultimately escape him. 2 Timothy 4:1 reminds us that Jesus Christ shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And listen, you may refuse, and many people do. You may refuse to deal with Jesus today. But there's coming a day when you will deal with Jesus. John has taken us back farther than any genealogy could take us. Before Bethlehem, he was. Before Abraham, he was. Before Adam, he was. Before creation, he was. And John 1:1 gives us three tremendous declarations. In the beginning was the Word. He is eternal. The Word was with God. He is distinct in person. The Word was God. He is fully divine. Perhaps the most amazing thing comes 13 verses later in verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The eternal Word came to us. The Creator became man. The infinite entered our world. The Eternal One stepped into time. God was manifest in the flesh. You say, why? Because sinful man could never make his way up to God. Nothing we would ever do could get us to God. So he had to come down to us. The wonder of the gospel this morning is not that sinful man found his way to God, but rather it's that a holy God came looking for sinful man. The one who created the world came into the world. He lived without sin. He went to Calvary. He shed his blood. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. And John tells us why he wrote this gospel, John 20:31. But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus Christ, or that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. That's the whole reason for the gospel of John. So we might know that we know that we're saved and that heaven's our home someday. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.